would you do if you knew you could not fail? How high would you fly? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart? To your beautiful heart.
This audio program is brought to you by Simply Celebrate. We invite you to explore our website, simplycelebrate.net, to discover how you can turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life. simplycelebrate.net. You're listening to Lively Conversations, an audio download series that we created to introduce you to extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. This program is a rebroadcast of our December 2009 teleseminar featuring Sydney Ashland, a renowned medical intuitive and energy practitioner based in Eugene, Oregon. Tonight, Sydney is going to introduce us to the body energetic, a new health and healing paradigm that honors our individual makeup and shows us how to understand our energetic system, which is made up of our mind, our body, and our spirit. Working with Sydney's model, we can learn how energy flows through our bodies and how to manage it in order to live healthier and more balanced lives. I hope you enjoy listening to this lively conversation.
Good evening. My name is Tricia Huebner, and I'd like to welcome everybody on the line this evening. Thanks for joining us for our December teleseminar. I'd like to begin by saying welcome to Sydney Ashland, who's on the line, and start out with our session tonight by having Sydney tell us a little bit more about herself and the foundation of her work as a medical intuitive and an energy practitioner.
Okay, thank you. Well, actually, when I was a child, I noticed very early on that my relationship to what I saw in people and how I observed the world was a little different than many of those around me. I had a very strong intuitive sense. I do not see it as a gift as much as just more of an innate ability to key into that more primal intuitive self. I think that all of us have that ability, and that's what my burden is tonight, to encourage people to really begin working with and experimenting with trusting their intuitive selves. So that was more of an innate ability that I had as a child. When I became an adult, I studied Ayurvedics and energy medicine from a polarity perspective. Both of those modalities use the metaphor of the elements and really resonated with me because I thought it made perfect sense that this world that is scientifically made up of the elements also is mirrored in this physical form. Earth being the structure, the bones, the muscles, water being our kidneys, bladder, and blood system, the fire being the electrical system, air, respiratory, and ether or space, which is that cognitive, intuitive, and intellectual self. So I became a medical intuitive once I really immersed myself in Ayurvedics and polarity medicine, understanding how energy worked and learning through those techniques how to palpate energy, coupled with my ability to see and notice things.
And so when you're talking about those five elemental pieces and your ability to palpate energy and move energy in the body, so it's both things that you've got your kind of psychic intuitive component working, you've got the understanding using that elemental model, and then you've got how you move energy in the body in a very physical way through your hands. Am I saying that right?
That is correct. I am a hands-on practitioner, although I do have some clients that I work with long distance who either send me a picture or who have visited Eugene at some point and whose energy I have connected with either visually or hands-on. So how I came up with this model, basically, because the body energetic is based on the energetic stages of development and the energetic type that I assess when I'm working with someone. And the way that I created this model was in working with children. And I noticed that in working with children, their chakras are not pulsing in the same manner that adults are. That when I worked with a child who was, say, an infant or under 15 months or 3 years of age, that their first chakra was very wide open, second chakra maybe starting to pulse, but that the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh were not pulsing in the same way. In fact, were rather constricted. And I began to understand that there is a developmental process that takes place energetically within this body that is a progression, and that those stages, the energetic stages of development, in many ways mirror more of the behavioral and emotional stages of development that we all go through as we develop.
So once we develop as kids into adults, we sort of work through all the stages. Is that right? And then...
That's correct. And there may be some places that, you know, we didn't get all of our needs met. And so we have some blockages or some type of inflammatory process that takes place because there's a buildup of energy. And that's something that then as adults we need to work through.
And that was going to be my next question, is then as adults, when we revisit the model and take a look at whether... like, for example, I may be a strong earth-bound person, or that my earth energy tends to be dominant or whatever. And just so everybody knows, we're going to take you through an exercise to help you discover this for yourselves. But when we transition to adults, then what you're saying is as we continue to work, we're not in the developmental stage anymore, but we're more in the... It's sort of like our bodies have taken on an impression or something?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So how I would describe that is, so we have the energetic stages of development just as we have the behavioral or emotional stages of development. And that helps to, you know, create personality and who we are energetically. But in addition to that, we as individuals tend to really... vibrate and mirror the energy that we physically are most comfortable with. And so that's what I'd really like to focus on tonight, is more of our energetic type and how that influences how we experience the world, how we move in an animated and healthy fashion, or become constricted, blocked, and perhaps sick.
Okay, that sounds great. So let's move into that next place where you introduce us to each of the elemental types. And what I'm going to do is set up a bit of an exercise here for everybody listening. I'm going to try to organize this so that they can both hear and participate and also take down the information to do the assessment. So what I'd like everybody to do is, if you have a piece of paper in front of you, is... why don't you make three columns, like put a couple lines down, make three different columns on your page. And in that first column, title the top to be elemental types or the elements or something. And then in the second column, put some of the key words or some of the descriptors that Sydney describes. And just, you know, you don't have to write down everything she says, because we're going to give you information about this afterwards, but just some of the key things that you're hearing. And then for the third column, after we go through them all, I'm going to have you guys look back and take kind of an overview of it and put a check mark where you find you identify or you resonate with some of the things that she's said. And where do you start? Is there
I would start with the first chakra, which is earth.
Okay, so that's
so the qualities of earth are strength, solid, grounded, methodical, consistent, resilient, pragmatic. Those are all qualities of the earth element. Somebody who really is a strong earthy individual generally is somewhat stocky, maybe a little bit square in how they look physically. That doesn't mean that they're not in good physical shape, because they can often be in excellent physical shape, but that they move even physically in a very symmetrical fashion, in a very grounded way. The watery individual is often emotional, impulsive, effusive, demonstrative, flexible, and connecting when it comes to relationships with others. So those are some of the more emotional or character type descriptors of a watery individual.
Do they also have a physical component, like the earth person in that squared?
They do. Often they are people who tend to put weight on around their low belly or their thighs and hips. And so they tend to carry energy and move from their hips and low belly in a way that is flowing. Those individuals tend to really move their hips and move in the world from a place of that second chakra. And if they're overweight, that's where they'll also put on their extra weight.
Okay.
The fiery individual is someone who is warm, often has a lot of creative energy, strong-willed and intense, active, passionate, competitive, perhaps someone who expresses anger easily or intensely. So those are some of the descriptors of the fiery individual. That's a person who really operates physically more from the upper belly, the solar plexus, just right beneath the sternum.
Yeah.
Those people tend to be rather intense individuals, and so when they move in the world, it is with a certain forcefulness or focus and intensity. Not quite as plodding and grounded as the earthy person, or as flowy as the watery person, but more with an intense purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They also tend to put weight on more around the upper belly and possibly the chest, so they're more barrel chested. Those people are more prone to heart issues because of where they put on their weight and because of where that chakra is located.
Okay.
Airy individuals' qualities tend to be individuals who are expressive, lively, absent-minded, impulsive, quick, talkative, artistic, and/or musical. So these people are those who are very expressive. They often do not feel as grounded in their energy. They tend to vibrate at a much faster, higher level and move through the world in a way that is very quick and sometimes unpredictable. Those are people when you're driving behind them in your car who change lanes without any type of warning, forgetting to turn on their blinker.
Okay, I have to ask
hold
you,
up their...
is this where the term airhead comes into play?
Well, I think that you really can use some of those idioms or some of those metaphors that we have in the world for all of these, you know,
sure.
The stubborn, in a rut, earthy person, you know, the fiery hothead, you know, the fire in their belly type of person, and then, yes, the airhead, the one who just isn't very grounded, but who may be very creative, very expressive and articulate, very artistic.
Okay.
And, you know, in my model, we combine in the last two chakras some of the other elements that have to do with the throat, the third eye, and the heart, because air and ether really do very adequately describe what those combined chakras do in our bodies in those places. So going into the ether element, which is really in your head, so it includes the third eye and the crown, these people are intelligent, brainy, very clear and direct. They tend to be more inclined towards spirituality or contemplative thought. They are analytical and judicious. Okay. These people often have difficulty dropping down into their bodies. When they move in the world in terms of walking, often their head leads. They have their head kind of tucked down and looking as if they're deep in thought, or their head is getting there a few seconds before the rest of their body. They often are not as well developed physically or as symmetrically developed physically, because they tend to ignore the body and what some of its needs are. And so these are often the people that seem a little more pale or pasty, may not be appear as physically strong, or may just really look like they're asymmetrical, a big difference between the left side of their bodies and their right.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Is it one of the things when I was learning about this from you, I was thinking, oh, am I just one type? Do I identify with just one part? Or is there a dominant component to me?
Well, I think most of us have a primary energy through which we experience the world. And sometimes I refer to it as the lens through which you see and experience the world. So you may be primarily a water type, which means you're emotional, you're effusive, you go with the flow, you are flexible. But then generally there is a secondary energy that you use as your backup, and that could be any of the other energies. Now, if you're a watery person primarily, and fire is your secondary energetic type, so that generally the first way you experience the world is through the water, but secondarily, when you have a knee-jerk response or when you're under pressure or stress, you go to fire to move in the world. That can be an issue, because when you put water and fire together, what do you often get? Steam. If you have too much water, it can really douse the fire and totally put it out. And sometimes then those are people who are very emotional but have a really difficult time moving forward in the world and making progress. If you have too much fire, then the water can really get depleted and evaporate, and then you can get out of balance that way. So it's very interesting to look at these qualities that I've just mentioned, and maybe once you've made a check mark or two, decide whether what your primary energetic type is and your secondary energetic type. But before you do that, or while you're doing that, I thought I might also give you an example of some of the chakra thoughts so that you can more easily determine what type you are.
Okay.
First chakra thoughts, which are earthy thoughts, tend to center around struggling to survive. It can include worries about scarcity, or on the positive side, a strong belief that you will be taken care of, that you can trust others and yourself. So some of the thoughts that go through someone's mind who is an earthy person is thoughts around there being enough or not enough, trusting that working hard will help you get ahead or make ends meet, or that working hard might not help you get ahead or make ends meet. Mm-hmm. If you are confident in your ability to survive and be taken care of, or are you afraid that you won't be taken care of or survive? Sometimes you can view the world as hard and believe that there's enough or not enough. And so that's a good way to look at that element and say, how much time do I spend in first chakra thoughts? Second chakra thoughts, which have to do with water, have to do about your sensitivity. Do you view yourself as too sensitive or not sensitive enough? Do you view yourself as emotional and feel that as a positive thing or as a weakness? Do you feel confident in your sexuality and in your sensuality? Do you trust your sexual and sensual thoughts or feel like you must somehow control them? Do you believe that you can move in the world deserving love and expressing love? Often these people are relationship-focused, so they are people that reach out and think in terms of relationships. So those are second chakra, watery thoughts. Mm-hmm. Third chakra thoughts, or fiery thoughts, have to do with motivation and initiative. Do you know what to do and feel confident in what you need to do or want to do? Do you feel stuck or insecure? Are you someone who is comfortable with your anger, or do you have a hard time getting in touch with your anger and feel shut down? Do you struggle with motivation, because that's the kind of imploded side of fire, no motivation? Do you have high energy? Do you consider yourself a doer? Are you plagued by thoughts around should or should not? That is often a fiery individual. Do you have passionate, passive, or competitive thoughts? Also, fiery people can be intensely stubborn. So if you find yourself obsessively thinking about how you are right or what should have been done or what you could have done, then often that's a fiery thought.
Wow.
Fourth chakra thoughts that have to do with air. You are very comfortable connecting with creative and longing thoughts. So you connect with the thought that has to do with desire and longing for something outside of yourself. Self-expression is a key focus, and so you might often think about your artistic side in terms of I must write, draw, sing, or play. You may struggle with your creativity, vacillating between it being a waste of time or wrong, or what you have to do in the world in order to survive. You may struggle with responsibility because you have a hard time grounding yourself, and so if you are often thinking in terms of what you are irresponsible about or responsible for, you may be an airy person. If you go to places of I forgot, I can't, I tried, I want, I didn't mean to, those are all airy thoughts. Also, I can't say it or I must say it.
So interesting, the opposite, you know, component
right.
Really can exist.
That's where there's a lack of balance, where there's either too much air or not enough.
Okay.
Fifth chakra thoughts have to do with more of the thoughtful analytical. You may get stuck in your head, overthinking, feeling tortured by your circuitous or obsessive thoughts. You may feel mentally exhausted. You may long for the spiritual or the religious. You may struggle with addiction because altered states of consciousness and transcendence are areas that call to you. So thoughts in this area have to do with logic. Is it logical or illogical? It must make sense. I must get it right. I can't make mistakes. I must anticipate all possible outcomes. I must get there through my thoughts. The only way to get out of my thoughts is through escape. I should connect with God, my highest self or source. I am enslaved to my thoughts. I can't get it out of my head. Mm-hmm. Those are all fifth chakra ether thoughts.
Okay. Well, let's take a moment and let everybody kind of review that and think about it. I have a feeling, like myself, when you said something, I mean, like a little bell went off in me, you know, like I'm thinking, oh, that's the one that I, you know. And so just make a check mark. And like you said, we're looking at sort of that first initial identification with something as maybe primary, but that there may be another one that you also felt like, that may be secondary. So everybody just take a look at your list and see kind of what you came up with. We'll just take about 30 seconds and do that. Okay, so one of the things that I find when I'm doing this for myself, and this would be, I guess, the downside to doing a self-assessment, is do you find that when people try to do it themselves, they can feel confused, kind of like, oh.
I think that's very common, and I think the most important thing is to just play with it, allow yourself to not have to get it right, but to really be willing to make a decision and then notice if that feels right as time goes on. Oftentimes, people who first come to me will be very confident that they're one type or another and then over time say, you know what, I really think that this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And so this is just some information that people can sit with and begin to think of in new ways in order to have a little more self-awareness.
I mean, so what's the real benefit of getting this from an energetic perspective, you know, about yourself and your body and how you live in the world?
Well, I think the benefit is in order to be healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually, and psychically, you need to be as balanced as you possibly can be. If you lack the self-awareness to know what areas in your body you struggle with, for instance, if you're primarily an earth energy type with secondary fire energy, and you have very little air energy, and you really have difficulty with expressing yourself or being comfortable in the world at large or connecting with others, then learning how to bring more of that air element into your life, even though your primary type is earth and fire, is really critical. Or if you're excessively earthy and you're stubborn and you are very pragmatic and very grounded, but you lack flexibility, you lack some of the other qualities of the other energies, then you can develop illness in some of those areas. And it can lead to diseases of various systems or cancer, and it can also impair you emotionally and really restrict your ability to have relationships or work in the world in a way that feels productive and gives you a sense of purpose.
So if you were working with someone and they came to you because they were they were starting to, well, first of all, I know you work with people in various ways, but maybe give us an example of someone who comes to you because they have a particular illness that is centered in a certain area. And so how do you begin the process with them in understanding sort of, again, energetically how they're made up and why that might be happening?
I had one client many years ago who developed bone cancer, and this was an individual who had their entire life lived a very chaotic, disjointed life because of their family of origin issues. And yet they were a very earthy person by nature, and that part of themselves was always denied. And so by them going through mainstream treatment as well as some alternative therapies, working energetically with the earth element throughout their entire system and addressing the emotional and spiritual components of those energetic imbalances, they ended up having an entirely different course where the cancer resolved and they ended up, very, very healthy in the end. Now, I've had another individual who came to me with bone cancer where they really were in very good balance, but what I detected was a genetic component. And so then it's a very different issue.
Yes. And really looking at all of those potential sources for illness or whatever are very important, because it isn't one or the other. I mean, there are genetic things that we have a predisposition for. But a lot, I also imagine, are caused by that emotional component of things not being looked at,
Exactly. And even if there's a genetic component, you can often help to address and restore the healing properties of the body by really being attentive to the balance. So that it's not a lost cause, even if you do have an illness that has more of a genetic source.
Okay. And so just to kind of recap in terms of using this model, how you use it, how we can use it, this is where you kind of begin to understand somebody, correct?
This is how I begin to understand someone, in really looking at how they appear to me physically, how they feel to me energetically, in visiting and talking with them, how they operate in their energetic thinking, listening to their thoughts and how they express themselves, all are key indicators. Something else that I always look at with individuals is people's feet. And the reason I look at people's feet is because the toes are the very final ending point for all of the meridians that run through the body, the small toe being earth, the toe next to that water, the middle toe fire, the toe next to the big toe air, and then the big toe is ether. And when I'm working with someone, I get a feeling for how they move physically, how they look physically to me. Secondly, I feel the energy and how the energy feels in each one of the energetic zones in the body. I listen to how they talk to me and listen to their energetic thoughts. And then I look at their feet or feel their feet with my hands and have a sense of, are their toes straight? Is one toe sticking up above the other or scrunched underneath one of the other toes? Do they look like they ascend kind of in a natural progression in terms of length, or is the fire toe very long and the air toe very short?
I was going to say,
another way.
I can imagine everybody taking off their shoes and socks right now and staring at their toes, which would be good because, like, my second toe is a little bit taller than my first toe. I'm suddenly wondering about that. Oh, my. So that's a good thing.
You have more air energy, yeah.
You're just saying I'm an airhead, basically. No, and you know me, so you can't comment on that. Well, that's very interesting. So the whole feet thing. Well, and that's also, I've worked with acupuncturists and people where, the feet are it, right? I mean, you can connect to all of the organs through the feet. And like you said, the end of all the meridians and the energy places. So, well, that'll be interesting. People can examine their feet later if they weren't able to do it while you were talking. So
I'm looking at the time here, and I want to make sure we have time for some questions, because I actually have some that I received by email. Okay, so all the line should be open, and so I'm going to pause for just a moment, and please, if anybody listening has a question, be brave, don't be shy, just say hello and ask it.
So if the goal is balance, and there's an area, not so much that you're okay or excessive in, but totally deficient in, and that's where you need the most remediation, how do you either access the areas you're strong in to help the weak one? You know, how do you give yourself what is most missing?
Well, there
take water
are
as an example.
Water, for example, if water was missing in your life. So one of the things that I would encourage you to do is bring the water element more fully into your life. Drink water, drink teas. Walk along a waterscape of some kind, a river, a creek, or the ocean. Do things that elicit emotionality. Watch a funny movie or sad movie or movie that elicits some kind of emotional response. Eat watery foods that are things like watermelon, grapes, those succulent foods. Just, you know, immerse yourself in the water element. Take baths, take hot showers, get into the jacuzzi, so that on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level, you're really bringing in that water element. Another thing that you can do in terms of a physical exercise is stand with your feet right about the place where your hips are, just a stance where they're about 18 inches apart, and just sway from side to side. You might even listen to some music and sit in a rocking chair and rock, or get in a canoe and be in the water and rock. Those are all ways to begin to change the vibration of your body so that you're vibrating more in the energy of water, and that will begin to restore some of that balance.
Got it. So set the paradigm, and the energy will take over.
Exactly, exactly. And then you can also do some affirmations that have to do with welcoming emotionality, connection, flexibility into your life, giving yourself an opportunity to cry or express on some level your emotionality.
Got it. Thanks.
That's very helpful. And so I just want to ask one other question that has to do with a specific condition or that one of our listeners brought up is, what if you suffer or you're prone, you notice, to depression, and that you find that you have this feeling often? What can that be an indicator of, or how would you rate that to the, like, the elements?
Well, depression is often a fire issue. Even though you may experience your depression through weeping and feeling sad or crying, it usually is a manifestation of holding your fire back. And so one of the things that you need to do is to begin to bring that fire energy out. Putting your hand over your solar plexus and moving it slowly in a clockwise motion is helpful for stimulating that chakra. You can put a tennis ball mid-back in the chair or the couch and lean against that, which also stimulates the fire center behind you. Notice what inhibits your moving out in the world or inhibits your expression of anger or creativity or doing, and begin to bring that fire element more into your life by eating spicy foods, keeping yourself warm, doing affirmations around I am my actions and I am more than my actions, doing intense physical activity that really causes you to break a sweat and encourages that fire element to move.
Okay, thanks. That was very helpful. So again, the combination of things we can do ourselves when we understand these elemental forces and subtleties and things like that are very helpful. I mean, just in terms of, you know, if they're things like, oh, I just am someone who gets headaches a lot, or
yes, and so with your headache, to really notice if it's at all connected to your thinking or overthinking. Is it something that seems to be more connected to your circulation, such as a migraine where, you know, you really are getting visual disturbances and such an intense headache that you're vomiting or nauseous? You know, noticing if your face hurts, you know, is this more of a sinus issue? And if it's a sinus issue, then the water element and air elements are the two elements to work with. If it's a migraine issue, it's ether and fire. Mm-hmm. If it's something that has to do with food allergy, then that can be more of the earth element. So really doing some sleuthing and investigating so that you can begin to pinpoint what the cause is and then working with the element that's connected to that causation.
Well, that makes sense. And I'm certainly going to follow some of the suggestions you gave tonight for that in particular, and just in general, trying to think differently about staying more in tune with my body and thinking through all of those different elements and how they work together to keep us in balance. It's given me a lot of motivation to sort of break out of some habits that I have about how I look at when I don't feel well and how I approach it. So I'm guessing that many on the line are thinking the same thing. And now I'm afraid we are out of time. There's never enough time, it feels like, when we start talking about such fascinating topics with interesting teachers like Sydney. I want to thank Sydney so much for being our guest tonight. It has been a real pleasure to talk with her, and I hope you've all enjoyed learning about the body energetic and Sydney's work.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I want to let you know how you can contact her directly. You can go to her website, which is thebodyenergetic.com. That, you can just type that in all as one word. So it's thebodyenergetic.com. And up there, there's information about her services, how you can set up a session with Sydney, either in person or over the phone, and also information she's made available to download that covers a lot of what we started talking about tonight, and you may want to go back and review it. There's an assessment up there, as well as chakra thoughts and some other things that she's made available to us until the end of the month. And then when you go back, there'll be a fee for those products up there. So lastly, I want to also remind everybody to check back in with simplycelebrate.net and look for our January teleseminar. We have a great, interesting topic coming up, so take a look at that and see if you'll be available on the 19th of January to join us. So thank you again for everybody who's listening in and participated in our session this evening. We're so excited that you're part of our community, and we really appreciate the fact that you're here. So enjoy your holidays and certainly be healthy and well.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart? To your beautiful heart. What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart? To your self-punishment does not lead to self-compassion.
happens to self-control.